two sets of rules, one for them, one for us. And as George Carlin used to say,
it's a big club and you ain't in it.
But if you have enough money, then I guess you can pretty much buy anything that you want. And then everybody else, well, just have to deal with the consequences, don't we? So we've now had 5 key banks fail. Who's gonna be the next one? Coming up. I'm Lynette Zhang, Chief Market Analyst here at ITM Trading, a full service physical, you take delivery, you hold it, you own it, precious metals dealer. But what we really specialize in is long-term relationships and helping you create a strategy that is based upon your goals first, and then your circumstances and what you have to work with. What a concept. And I think it's critically important that everybody have a plan in place. So I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't yet done so, to click that Calendly link below and set up a time to meet with one of our precious metals consultants and get your strategy in place. And if you already have that, is it all finished? Have you executed everything? Because the time is running out. Now, we all know what's been happening with the banking system. And, SVB and First Republic and Signature and Credit Suisse, et cetera, et cetera. But let's go over this, because we know that banks have spent a tremendous amount of money lobbying Congress, so our politician, for years to loosen those bank regulations so that they can do more and more and more and more speculation. And so far, they have managed to not burn depositors anyway. Some bondholders, yes, that's another story for another day. Although it had long employed a top lobbying firm and lobbyists before a key law was signed into law, as that bill got closer to former President Donald Trump's desk, they hired a former Senate staffer and increased lobbying spending by 25%. The new law removed regulations like mandatory stress tests on banks the size of Silicon Valley Bank, though those stress tests were really designed just to give you confidence. All this crap is designed to maintain or give you confidence in this failing system so that you keep your wealth inside of it and make it much easier for them to steal from you, and you don't even realize it. Okay, so these bank stress tests were designed in the aftermath of the Great Recession to protect the economy from bank collapses, and many say it helped led to the bank's downfall. Well, yes, it did, because, and you know, the interesting part about it is I have not heard one person, no political leaders, nobody say, hey, maybe like they did with Glass-Steagall back in 33, maybe we should separate the deposit-taking banks from the speculative-taking banks, from Wall Street banks. Yeah, no, let's not go back to that like we were for many, many years. All right, well, experts say the way banks like Silicon Valley Bank lobbied for the law demonstrates how special interests with enough money can get their way with elected officials, and how loophole-ridden federal law facilitates a revolving door between Congress and the lobbying interesting. Shocker. Shocker, shocker, shocker. That's why you have to be your own central banker. You have to be your own politician. You have to make sure that you have the ability inside of community to be as independent and self-sufficient as possible, because nothing that they're doing is in your best interest. Nothing. It's in their best interest first. And that isn't just SVB Bank. U.S. banks ramped up lobbying by nearly 20% as SVB and Signature failed. Regional banks among those that spent more on lobbyists, mid-tier banks to face more regulations in coming months. Because let's say it's the fox watching the hen house. Once all the hens are killed, then they'll close the door. It's pretty much what they're saying here. mid-tier banks up lobbying the most on a percentage basis. So PNC, which is in the news again, Bank Policy Institute, KeyCorp, Citizens Financial, Mid-Sized Bank Coalition. But look at the Bank Policy Institute. Oh my goodness. Yes. We want to have that influence on our government, right? The government is supposed to be by the people and for the people, but it really is by the banks and for the banks, and whoever has enough money, and that's not just the banks, goodness gracious, no. It's also the tech companies. We saw who got bailed out, the venture capitalists, the tech companies, right? This is a club, and you and I are not in it. We need to have our own club, our own community, where we support and help each other. Fed bosses steered examiners away from probing problems like SVB. Quest for efficiency frustrated frontline bank inspectors. Oh my God. It's very hard to tell a story of how a bank directly supervised by the Fed failing in a messy way, or how about one of the writers of Dodd-Frank, Barney Frank, overseeing on the board of Signature Bank? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And requiring a systemic risk exception isn't the result of a supervisory failure. The role of supervisors is to question and challenge business plans to really probe what could go wrong, but they don't do that. And those stress tests, though, they don't do that either. They create the scenario, and hey, did they put in a scenario where raising rates weren't? No, we've done videos on that even recently. And honestly, this is not about protecting you or protecting the depositors. This is about the banks making more money and the tech companies, et cetera. Examiners at the regional Fed banks found that they were being asked more questions about why they were devoting so much time to lenders that were deemed too small to be systemically risky. Well, isn't that interesting? Because they were deemed too small to be systemically risky and yet required a systemic risk exception. Because we are all incestuously intertwined. So everything is systemic. And God forbid, now with First Republic failing as well, and the government brokering a deal between JP Morgan and First Republic to take over all of the deposits, because the big banks got together and gave them $30 billion in uninsured deposits. So by JP Morgan taking them over, okay, everybody's got access. They're all under the auspices of JP Morgan. Nobody has lost money. But who was in there too? The wealthy. When it's just a little community bank that is particularly vulnerable and it's just small depositors, you'll see how fast they'll rush in to bail them out. They won't. We saw what happened in 2008. Systemically important bank lobbying is ginormous. And the blue bar is in Q1 22, the black bar is the first quarter of 22, and the blue bar is the first quarter of 23. And you can see how pretty much all of them, except for Bank of New York Mellon, ramped up their lobbying efforts. There's a reason why they spend it. And by the way, where are they getting all this money to spend on lobbying? Trading. Let's make sure they can get speculative trading to make all of their money. Do you think that they are lobbying for things that put your best interest first? You and I coming together in community, this is how we vote. We vote with our wallets. If you vote to stay in the system, if you hold stocks and bonds and even a lot of cash, this is still our tool of barter, we gotta have some of it. But if you have those IRAs and you have those accounts and you're in pension plan, that's your vote. And you need to understand, that's your vote. Doing nothing, that's your vote. But being proactive, becoming your own central banker, putting in your food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community, and shelter. That's my vote. So if you do it, that's your vote. And you're not going to be as greatly impacted as you are is if everything is inside of the system. Because what we've seen, particularly since 2000, and I've done other videos on this over the years, is that there has been a very steady consolidation of U.S. banking. And now J.P. Morgan, the largest bank that required, I just did something on this, what, last week or recently, they had to have a special exception to take over First Republic, which I think was like the 15th or 17th largest bank. I mean, that means that the danger and the power is again consolidated into a more narrow playing field. Fewer choices, less competition. And you can see with the new banking charter, you know, there's a whole lot fewer banks that are coming on board. But there were a lot that converted from being an investment bank to being a deposit-taking bank in 2008. Your choices are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Between 2017 and 2020, the total number of commercial banks in the U.S. declined by more than 500, and that's according to the FDCA. So you need to understand that what is really happening in here is a consolidation of power and of risk. And we are sitting on a powder keg. And this is just tamping down and making that core risk even bigger, even worse. And we don't even know. We don't even know. All we see is the tip of the iceberg. Fed seeks stronger bank rules while detailing oversight lapses. Closing the barn door after all of the hens have been killed by the foxes, because frankly, they are foxes. They're all foxes. Even when they put Dodd-Frank in, again, did they separate those banks like they did in 96, allowing them to come together? No, they did not. They wrote a document that never, all of the rules and the laws were not written by the time they started to dismantle it. And after all, they had 6 years where nothing bad happened. So, hey, let's just make it loosey-goosey. Let's make the rules more loose so the banks can get in there and trade and take and do speculation and make more money and risk you, risk the entire global banking system. I hope with all of these videos, what you can see is that the ground underneath your feet is shifting, and not in a good way. When it collapsed on March 10th, SVB had 31 unaddressed safe and soundness supervisory warnings. 31 unaddressed. Well, why bother, right? Because everybody's palm that needed to be greased was getting greased. The board put short-run profits above effective risk management. Compensation packages of senior management through 2022. So we don't want workers' bees on the front lines or in the regular to ask for more money. No, no. Compensation packages of senior management through 2022 were tied to short-term earnings and equity returns. So encouraged by speculation and did not include risk metrics. Shocker! As such, managers had a financial incentive to focus on short-term profits over sound risk management. The FDIC, the primary regulator for Signature, also acknowledged it was too slow to respond to problems at the lender before its spectacular collapse last month. But what they keep telling us is these were all one-off issues, but they're not. Because we're all incestuously intertwined on a global basis. That's why Credit Suisse matters. And we haven't seen the end of this, not even marginally so. What we're watching is the fuse burning. So what do you want to do? And personally, I always feel like you want to have the lion's share of your wealth in an undervalued asset that is in a long-term positive trend. and the least amount of your wealth in an overvalued asset or instrument that is in a long-term negative trend. The real trend that we're dealing with here is the death of fiat money. Whether it's the dollar, and certainly the dollar as the world reserve currency is going away. I mean, that's been happening since 2000, really. But it's all fiat money, all of it. It's going away, and we're shifting into a new social, financial, and economic system. What do you want to enter that new system with? This is what I want to enter it with. And in the meantime, I want to secure my food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, community, and shelter. Please get it done. Because right now, and you guys know, let me make this very clear. I personally do not buy new bullion, other than silver. Silver I'm not worried about. But gold, I don't. Because personally, I believe the historic precedents that there very well could be an overt confiscation. All this price manipulation, because we know a rising gold price is an indication of a failing currency. All of this price manipulation that you see is about keeping you out of the physical market. Because once you're here, then there's really, it according to the Bank for International Settlements, it avoids political risk, geopolitical risk. And there's tons of it out there right now. There is so much risk. Get to safety. The reason why I don't buy it is because I think there could be an overt confiscation. But what I'm showing you is these are still severely undervalued. So this is your wealth insurance. What if I'm wrong? What if they don't do it? Doesn't matter to me because I'm still buying them so far below the true fundamental value, I cannot get burned. Now, if I need to sell them at the wrong time, I might lose some of this. So I want to be clear on that. But if I have a choice and I can do something where it doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong, and it costs me a little bit of insurance money to make sure that it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, rock and roll hoochie-coo. Because bullion, that's what's inside of IRAs. Why can't you put these coins inside of an IRA? You can do Bitcoin in an IRA. You can do real estate. You can do everything else, but you can't do that. Isn't that interesting? So the way that I determine what I'm willing to buy is what I cannot do in an IRA because it's easy to confiscate if it's sitting there in IRA. Just do a sweep, leave a whole bunch of this crap, even paying you what you think is a premium, and then you're in deep doo-doo. So, oh my goodness, there's so much going on. If you have not already subscribe and hit that bell so we can let you know what's going on. And make sure, if you haven't already, to give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, share, because absolutely, real wealth shields, they're made of physical gold and silver in your possession. Because if you don't hold it, you don't own it, and your perception is irrelevant in a court of law. So that's why. You want to hold it, you want to own it, and until next we meet, please be safe out there. Bye-bye.